This podcast is brought to you by St. Joseph's Episcopal Church in Boynton Beach, Florida, in the United States of America. You can find us at stjoesweb.org. Come visit us when you are in town.
Come, Holy Spirit, kindle within us the fire of your love and peace. Take our minds and think through them. Take our lips and speak through them. Our hearts and souls and set them on fire with love for you. Amen. Please be seated. When I was a little girl, growing up in the Boynton, Delray area, I remember hurricanes. Lots of hurricanes, actually. And I remember that when I was 10 years old, we were camping in Ocala National Forest, and we got word that Hurricane Betsy was on her way to us, and the weather forecast of hurricanes wasn't so great back then, and we had to get back that day. So we packed up our camp, and all eight of us in my family barreled back down to get ready for the hurricane. And the hurricane came that afternoon. We had just enough time to get home, and my brothers and my dad rushed around, put up the hurricane shutters, and my sisters and my mom and I went outside and gathered up anything loose and brought it in. We all unpacked the car, got inside the house, which was now really dark because of the awnings. And we just kept right on camping because then the electricity went out. I didn't feel the fear because my parents had this, even in our sense of urgency and quickness to prepare, they remained the calm in the midst of the storm. So we're preparing and we were, you know, settling in, and we could hear the wind whirling around us and whirling and howling and really shaking the building. You could feel it. And we were playing board games by candlelight. And double solitaire, I remember, and eating and reading books. And then my dad, who had set up these mattresses against a big sliding glass door, told us if we wanted to look outside and watch, we could. And the sliding glass door was, after this one big room, there was an entryway into the Florida room, and that's where the sliding glass doors were. And he put these mattresses up in front of it, which probably wouldn't have done any good if the wind had really come through. But the Florida room had solid walls and a roof, but from about halfway up to the ceiling, it was screens. So, you know, that's how Florida rooms are. So you could see outside if you looked over the mattress. So my brothers were up on the chairs, and they wouldn't really let us up, and we were arguing about who was going to get up there. And finally, though, they screamed, "Come look, come look, come look." And we all came running, and we pulled other chairs around, and we looked over the top. And this, our gigantic avocado tree in the backyard was rocking back and forth, and you could watch the earth as we did, and it was heaving like up and down and up and down. It looked like there was a monster about to come out of the ground. And at 10, my heart was pounding out of my chest. I'll never forget this, because then the roots came up and we watched this major tree fall over. Thank God not on the house. I'll never forget it. And it hit with a thud that you could feel in your bones. But I felt safe. I was with my family. I was with my parents. And there was a calm in the midst of that storm. Another wild storm that I remember in Florida was when I was about 24. We were down in the Florida Keys, and we had gone down there. My then husband and I and another couple had gone down every single year for lobster season. And we were down, way down at the lower end, and we were out in the Gulf, and we had gone to this one spot, and we'd gotten lobster and fish, and we're having a good time. And about midday, we see a storm coming up on the horizon. And as those of you who know how that is in the Keys, you see a storm on the horizon, and you better get back into shore. So we all, you know, brought in our lines and whatever we were doing, and we raced back into shore, you know, full throttle, coming back in. We didn't make it but about halfway when the storm hit. And I remember the needles of the rain coming down so hard that hurt. And we all huddled down, except for the driver, obviously, huddled down around the console, the steering column, to keep out of the way and out of the wind. And yet, I didn't feel fear. My heart was pounding, yeah, but I knew that we knew how to navigate that passage and that we were going to be okay. There was a calm in the midst of that storm, and I'll never forget it. Calm in the midst of the storm we feel in first responders, especially, like the first responders who were with those people in Paris on Friday. First responders who are there even in the midst of our families, or teachers who can stay calm if there's an emergency, or your family member, parents like mine were, policemen, firemen, chaplains. They are what is called a non-anxious presence. And that's a term that we learned when I was in seminary in a program called Clinical Pastoral Education, where you had to learn how to be in the midst of that kind of thing. And I worked at a trauma center in Washington, D.C. And that non-anxious presence is then the still point. But in order to maintain that, we learned about how important it was to debrief with one another if there was something particularly traumatic, to talk about it. We learned how to pray and have disciplines that would carry us through. And as chaplains, primarily to be able to be focused on God in the midst of those situations, to be that still point. And also to learn, importantly, that if we experience tragedy ourselves, just like all of you, it's important to lean on others to be that still point. We need one another. We need that hope. In today's gospel, Jesus speaks about that in the midst of what was seeming like the end of the world to them. The common narrative in first century Jerusalem was that the world was going to end, and soon, and that things had become so evil that only God could save them and would come to save the world very, very soon. And so when Jesus and his disciples were in the temple, it was the week that he was going to be killed on the cross and would resurrect on the third day. Things were tense. They were huddled together then in the temple. Then they go across the street to the Mount of Olives. And as they're going out of the temple, one of the disciples says, "Look at this place. This is amazing." And he's looking at the big stones on top of stones. And in essence, Jesus says, "This is all going away. None of this is important. Watch what you idolize." They go across, they're on the Mount of Olives, and they're looking out, and they're thinking, and then now the disciples are thinking, okay, we've got him alone. Tell us, Jesus, when is this going to happen? And Jesus surprised them, I'm sure, in his answer, because he said to them, "You will hear wars and rumors of wars, nation against nation, earthquakes. Do not be alarmed." That's what he says in the midst of that kind of a perspective of the end of the world. Do not be alarmed. Look for me in the midst of that fear. My love is stronger than your fear. Last weekend, Charles and I were able to attend this amazing conference called Awakening Soul. If any of you can go next year, it'll be wonderful again. And we had some great teachings by Walter Brueggemann, who is an Old Testament scholar, and at 82, this prophet that just rocked the place. And there was this metaphor about birthing and being midwives for one another and birthing something new and watching for that with one another. And in our breakout session, there was a conversation that we had, and there was a woman there who was an actual midwife, and she had been delivering babies for over 20 years. Thousands and thousands of babies she had delivered. And she said that though all the deliveries were different, almost to the 100%, she said 99.9% of the women at some point during their labor would say, "I cannot do this, and I'm going to die. I remember saying those very words during all three of the births of my babies. That's how you feel. And then, this miracle happens, and you don't really know how you did it, but there's this amazing new life in your arms, and you rejoice. In the midst of that seeming end of your life, new birth has taken place. My love is stronger than your fear. In our calendar year of the church, we're just finishing up year B. Next week will be the last Sunday of the calendar year B, and then the 29th of November will start Advent, and it'll start a whole new year, which will be year C. And what's interesting about every single year, no matter what the readings are, we end the year with these kind of apocalyptic stories like we heard today, and we will begin the year with that same kind of a story for the first Sunday of Advent. And it's brilliant because it makes us look at the worst possible thing that can happen to us as human beings. Annihilation and earthquakes and famines and disasters. And to look to Christ, to look to God for what's truly important and how we can find peace and a still point in the midst of all of that. The past few days, Marty and Dee and several others went down to our church's convention in the Keys, and we were there, and on Friday night we have a Eucharist, and it was beautiful, and I happened to be one of the chalice bearers, and another friend of mine, another priest, was a chalice bearer, and we finished communion, and then I came back to my seat and sat down, and I noticed that she didn't come back to her seat, and then when she did finally come back, I had seen her talking to the bishop, and she came back, and she looked really shook. She had gone in to take the chalices into the little room we call the sacristy to clean them up, or to leave them to be cleaned, and a man had approached her with a phone to tell her about the attacks in Paris. So she then went and told the bishop. And she came, when she came back to the seat, she was shaking. She was so scared. And then the bishop began to pray for peace in our world, for the victims of the attacks, and he also prayed for our enemies. Hard prayer. And as we all stood, we were arm in arm, holding one another up, and I couldn't help but think of today's gospel and the words of Jesus saying, "Do not be alarmed." But let me be clear, what happened, just like Marty was saying earlier at the 9:30 service, what happened obviously is not good. But we can look for the way that God can turn our hearts to good in this world, and to pray, and to be with one another in the midst, and to know that God's love is stronger than our fear. And that is our still point. That is our common focus in unity with one another. If you have a fear for the end of times, say that mantra to yourself. Hear those words coming to you from Scripture. Do not be alarmed. My love is stronger than your fear. Worried about a loved one? Or a personal situation that seems insurmountable? Hear the words. My love is stronger than your fear. Do not be alarmed. New life emerges. After we were praying about the Paris attacks, I walked in to take the vestments off with the other priests, and I turned, and there was a woman came over to me, another priest, and she had her phone. And she showed me pictures of her newborn grandson. My love is stronger than your fear. Amen.